Okay, so we are up to Tzadi Beis, and we went through Siv Beis, most of it. The end of Siv Beis, we discussed last week about being Mevatel Lechatchila, and I wanted to introduce now Siv Gimel and Dalet. So, Siv Gimel and Dalet are probably the most fundamental Siv in Hilchos Basa B'Cholav, about, and you're introducing the concept of Chaticha Atzma Nasas Nevela, better known as Chanan, as we call it. So we said last week that the concept of Chaticha Atzma Nasas Nevela means that if a piece of, let's say, a kazayis of chazir was absorbed into a potato, so, and then the potato is a five kazayis big potato, and then it's a kazayis of chazir was absorbed into the potato, so now how much, and that potato went and you put that potato into your chalon, how much to have 60, how much do you need against the iser? Do you need 60 kazaisim against the kazais of chazir that came in originally? Or do now, do you need 60, I guess 300, right? Do you need 60 times the five, the whole potato? Because the whole potato now is asar. So that's the shayla of chaticha atzma nasis nevela. Okay? Now we know that by basar b'chalav, of course we say chaticha atzma nasis nevela. So if you have a drop of milk falling into a, you know, 1 ounce of milk falling into a big 16-ounce steak, the whole 16 ounces is basa b'chalav, not just the milk. And if you put that whole piece of steak into a soup, you need now 60 against the whole steak, not 60 against the piece of milk. That's the whole fundamental principle of the Mishnah that we started with, right? Now, why is that? Because that's much more pashut. That's an obvious concept. Because there, by basa b'chalav, the Rishonim explain, the taruvus itself is the iser. The mixture itself is the problem. So the Rishonim give an example of wool and linen. So what's the problem when you have a shirt that has wool and linen in it? It's the wool asers the linen, or the linen asers the wool? What's the problem?
Both.
Exactly. The fact that they're there. It's not one is asering the other. So you're not going to tell me which one is the aser one. The whole thing is aser, right? So therefore, the entire one string of wool asers an entire baguette of linen, and the whole thing is aser, right? So too, by basar b'chalav, the entire combination is aser. The question is, what about by other isurim? By other isurim, by chazer and chaylev, do you say chaticha atzma nasas nevela, which obviously the halacha lemaisa is a very, very important concept, okay? So the mechaber in Sif Gimel, the mechaber in Sif Dalet says, loy amru chaticha atzma nasas nevela, ela bebasar b'chalav, avaloy b'shar isurim. So this is one of the big coolers over here that the Sephardim have over the Ashkenazim, is that the Mechaber says there is no Chanan only by Basar B'chalav, not by Shari Surim, and the reasoning is obvious. Because by Basar B'chalav, it's not the milk or the meat, it's the whole piece, it's the combination. But by Shari Surim, what's wrong with the potato? Potato's fine, so it has in it Chazer? Okay, so the Chazer is also, not the potato. Right? And by the way, right, in Huadin, like I'd be the Malkus, for example. How much of the potato do you have to eat to get Malkus? Do you have to eat one kazais of the potato, or do you have to eat the whole potato so that you ate a kazais of the chazer? Right? So according to the Chaber, no. Chaticha atzma nasas nevela. No, we don't say chanan by shari surim. Kigoin kazais. Now, in my Shulchan Aruch, they did me the favor of putting nekudos over here, because you could totally misread this Mechaber here. It says kigoin kazais, and it says ches lamed beis. So you could read it as chalav, and then you miss the whole point. So it's not chalav, it's chaylev. Chaylev means fat, also prohibited fats. Kegoin kazais chaylev shenivla b'chaticha. A kazais of fat that went into, and that's why I gave the example of chazir, just to be more clear. But Shulchan Aruch chose to use a chaylev, which if you don't have the right nekudas, you can get it totally wrong. Shenivla b'chaticha. Ve'ein bashishim levatla, and the piece does not have 60. Ve'ne'esra, ve'archakach bishla imacheres. Ain't tzorech el shishim kadei kazayis chaylev. You only need 60 times the kazayis chaylev. You don't need 60 against the whole piece. So you don't say chanan b'shari surim. Ve'oz afilu chaticha atzma chazer yasiyos materas. Now this last line in the Mechaber, I don't know if everyone understood what I said, is a huge chiddush and a major stira. The Shulchan Aruch says over here that if you now take this potato, it's a 5 ounce potato, 1 ounce of chazir in it, and you throw it into a pot that has 60 ounces of soup. So the soup is fine, because the kazayis chazir went out of the potato into the whole soup, and it's fine. Right? What about the potato? Can you now eat the potato? Because you say, oh, look, the potato is really not a problem. The whole problem with the potato, it has chazir in it. But now the chazir is spread out in the soup and it's bottled. So now, this is a concept. Really, the way to say this concept, the way the Rishonim have a gavaldic lashon for this concept. It's called, is the hagala b'oichlin. In other words, can you kasher food? A pot, you could do that, right? You could boil up a pot and all the treif flavor comes out. In a pot, by the way, obviously you don't say chanan in a pot, right? You don't say, well, if the pot has in it, the volume of the pot is 10 zesim, and now there's a kazais of chalev went into the pot, now I cook that pot in another, I now need against the whole walls of the pot. You don't say chanan on a pot, obviously, right? So you only measure against how much iser is in the pot. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, food is like that too. Now, how do you kasher a pot? You boil it up and the flavor goes out. Okay, gevaldik. So can you do that by food? Can you kasher food, essentially? So yesh hagala ba'eichlin or ain hagala ba'eichlin. Can you do hagala? Can you kasher food? So this Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying, yeah, you could do hagala on food. Just put the food into 60 ounces. You know, you have this potato. It's a delicious potato. It has in it some chazir. Boil up a pot. You know, and then when you're going on Erev Pesach to kasher your silverware, throw in the potato, and kasher the potato. All the flavor will come out, right? So why not? If I can kasher my fork, because it's not chanan, let me kasher the potato. Obviously, according to the Shulchan Ramah, if you hold chanan, you can't do that, obviously. But if you hold the Shulchan, could you? So he seems to be saying, yes, you could kasher food. All the flavor will come out. Now, what's the problem with this? Frecht all the mafarshim, the shach b'roisham, and the Taz, and it's the Ramah himself, that in Simen Kuf Vav, see, this is Hilchos Basar B'Cholov. After Simen Tzadi Ches starts Hilchos Taruvas, over there in Simen Kuf Vav, the Shulchan Aruch brings this din, they don't say Chanan B'Shari Surim, and he says, but even if you put the potato in a 60-ounce soup, and the soup is mutter, but of course the potato is still aser, because you cannot kasher potato. Ein hagala boichlin. So frick the shach over here in Sivkatan Yud Aleph, it's an open stira between the Shulchan Aruch here and the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Vav. As a matter of fact, it's one of the only places I've seen that the Ramah himself asks this kasha. The Ramah says this machaber doesn't make sense because the machaber himself in Simon Sadi Bey said not like that. So this is a peladik kasha. Okay? So is. I'm just trying to bring out the extremity of it.
When the flavor comes out, it's not going to now re-treif soup.
No, it won't. But the question is, can you kasher the potato itself, though? That's the question I'm talking about.
Right,
no, I'm just trying to bring out. No, I'm just trying to bring out the how extreme it is. Right, okay, fine. You know, that'll be involved in the
Shlachatchila.
Right. So, yesh agal ba'ichlana. So, the Shach over here has a very interesting answer. And the Shach says, no. Vada ain agal ba'ichlana. And you cannot kasher the potato. Of course not. What the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is that let's say you lost track of which potato it is, though. So now two things happened. Number one, the flavor from the chazir went into the soup and asr the soup. So for that, as long as you have 60 times the kazais of iser, it's mutter. Okay. But besides that, there's another point, which is the potato itself is asr. But let's say that potato got, now you lost track of the potato. So there's 18 potatoes there in the soup. You don't know which is the treif one. One of them is still treif, because ein hagala b'oichlin. So on that, the Ramah said, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, if you lost track of it, since it's not really osur machmas atzma, it's only osur because of something else, it's bottle, and you're allowed to eat the potato now. Because now the other potato, it's like a regular case, when you have five potatoes, one is treif, you're allowed to eat them. It, even if it would be a chatichah royal iskapid, you would be allowed to, because not osur machmas atzma. Okay.
This is only a food that's not royal iskapid, right?
Yeah, but very good. But we said that according to the even a royal iskabed, but since the iser is not the royal iskabed about it, right? It's only the blia, so the blia is not royal iskabed, so it would be bottle even if it's royal iskabed.
Not because of rove.
Because of rove, but there's usually a concept that you don't nullify something which is important. But here, if the piece is important, but that's not the piece is not what's usher. What's usher is the flavor, and the flavor is not important, so therefore it would be bottle, right? So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. There's an incredible answer given to this question by the Tzvila Tzadik. The Tzvila Tzadik, by the way, I think is the same author as the Pesachei Tshuva. So anyway, the Tzvila Tzadik gives a gevaldik ateret to this kasha. He says, we're talking about two different cases. If you look carefully in Simen Kuf Vav, It's talking about like this. You boiled up the. Remember, you have a kazais. You have a kazai. Let's call it like you have. What did we say? Yeah, we said you have a five kazais potato and one kazai. And the five kazais potato has in it a kazais of chazir, right? Now you put that potato now in 60 ounces, 60 kazaisim of water. So the flavor goes out of the potato, gets mixed into the water, and becomes bottled in the water. Okay. In that case, says the Tzvi Letzadik, the Shulchan Aruch writes over here, everything's okay. You're allowed to even eat the potato. Because the flavor left, no problem. The case in Kuvav is talking about, listen to this, that in the soup, you don't have 60 kazaisim of water. You only have 55. So it's 55. So where's the 60? Because the potato itself is 5 ounces. So now what's going to happen is, you have 5 ounces of potato, 55 ounces of soup, and the flavor in the potato is going to go out, spread itself out through the soup, and come back into the potato. So it's bottled, theoretically. It's bottled, but we still have to consider that there's more in the potato than everywhere else. And that little more is going to make the potato awesome. So he says, if you're using the potato itself, the iser itself, to perform the bittul, so then the piece itself stays also and the rest of the soup is mutter. But if you have 60 besides the piece, so then everything in the flavor of the flavor that was in the piece went out to the soup, became bottle. Nothing comes back in. Because once it left, it became bottle. So there's nothing left for it to come back in, so the potato itself is mutter. But if, when it went out, it's only 55 pieces of it are spreading on the soup, the other five are 560ths are coming back into the potato, plus there's probably a little bit that stayed in the potato to begin with. So therefore, that little bit now makes it that now the potato is also, because it's more than 60. Okay, so therefore says the Tzvi Letzadik that it's not a steer, it's somewhat two different cases. One is when you're talking about when you have 60 besides the chaticha, and one is when you have 60 with the chaticha. This is a big chiddush, obviously. We don't pass it like this, but this is, in Lomdus, it's a very nice chiddush, what he says. The what? And therefore?
So therefore it's only a suffix derabanan.
Okay, good. Okay, so this is the Shita Samachaber. Comes the Ramah, Hagah, V'yesh Oimrim, Da'amrinan, says the Ramah, Yesh Oimrim, Da'amrinan, B'chola, Isurim, Chaticha, Nasis, Nevela, V'chein Aminik, Poshut, V'ein Lashanik. So we paskin, you do say, Chaticha Atzma, Nasis, Nevela, B'shar, Isurim. And that's the Ramah, and Ashkenazim passing like this, and this is one of the big machlokes in between the Mechaber and the Ramah, and it comes up a lot of times, right? Because, whatever, it's very negah, especially in places that have real shailas, it could come up a lot, and the Mechaber is Mekel, and the Shulchan Aruch is, now. The question is, this idea, and it's going to be very important, this idea that we hold Chanan in other Isurim, is that the Araisa or is that the Rabbana? So the Shach in Yud Beis says, "Kosav Agur B'Shem Araid Mekomakom L'Kol Yama Ein Alim D'Rabbana." The concept of Chanan in Shari Surim and the Taz also in Yud Aleph Zeu Midrabbana, because the concept of Chanan only makes sense on a Araisa level in Basa B'Cholof when the combination itself is what's Aser, right? It's not the wool, it's not the linen, it's both together. So it's not the meat or the milk, it's both together. So that makes sense that every piece of the entire fiber, every part of the meat and every part of the milk is aser. But by potato with chazir, what would make the mechanics that would be deraisa? It's shver. It's hard to understand. So says the
you're eating pig.
But so the amount of pig in there is aser, but it's not the potato. What the potato do wrong? The potato is just housing the milk. The potato is just housing the chazir.
So why
it's aser because that's tam. No, so midrabanan, we say we don't that it's like basa b'chalav, and midrabanan we're going to make it the whole piece aser. But midiraisa, it's a much bigger chiddush to do that.
No,
by basa b'chalav, because the entire combination is aser.
But what if there's only an ounce of milk?
As long as there's less than 60, the milk asered the entire piece. It's less than 60, so the entire milk meat has in it flavor of milk, and therefore that combination is aser. So turn aser the combination. An ounce of milk, if it's less than 60 kenegdoi, asers give flavor to the whole.
Same thing by Shari Surah.
No, because that's very good. So you're tasting the chazir, but what's wrong with the potato part? How's that deraisa also? That combination is not also. So therefore, to say that the potato became also, that's derabanan according to the Shach and the Taz. Now Rabbi Kivager brings down a Tosfos in Chul and Daf Kuf, that Tosfos, and he proves from that Tosfos that Tosfos held that Hanan and other Isurim is deraisa. What's his proof? Gevaldika proof, okay? You have to have the cheshbon over here. We learn out from the parsha of Klei Midyon that there's an idea of hagala, of kashering kalim, right? But if you think about it, the whole concept of kashering anything, how does that work? What'd you do? You have a pot, you boil the pot. So in the walls of the pot is all this treif, midyonite chazir recipes, all this horrendous stuff. It's all treif. Now what do? You boil it up. Okay, where'd that flavor go? If you burn it out, fine, you burnt out all the flavor. Good, I get it. But what about hagala? How does hagala work? You boil up the pot. Now what? Get out of jail free card. I mean, well, what happened over here? So you boil up the pot. Now, how did that kosher anything? The answer is no, because it take out all the flavor from the sides of the pot. But where'd it go? It didn't evaporate that flavor. It goes into the water. Oh, so you'll say you. Okay, so that's why the poskim say you have to make sure you kosher in something which is the water should be more than 60 times whatever you're koshering. So if you put a fork in, so the second that flavor leaves the fork, it's bottle. Because it's more than 60 times the fork in the water. So frek toisos, that's very good if you have small pots or forks or whatever. What about the huge pot? What about the kashering pot itself? So Chazal say that on a normal pot, the inside of the pot does not contain 60 times the walls of the pot. I'm not a mathematician. I don't know how to figure out the math, but he says that it's pashut, that there's no 60 in the pot against the walls of the pot, including the bottom. Okay? So, how do you ever kosher a big pot? A small pot, you could stick into a different pot. If you have a small pot, you could stick into a different pot. But how do you kosher the big pot itself?
Cause the water to overflow?
It doesn't make a difference, but there's no 60 times. So the flavor is going to go back, the flavor is going to go into the water and come back in.
Right.
So how do you ever kosher it? Zoktosis, obviously, the only way to kosher it, nowadays, the way to kosher it is wait till 24 hours. So that the flavor goes out doesn't answer the water because it's after 24 hours. We'll talk about that later. But the deraisa is it's muchach in the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu gave them permission to kasher that day. So how do you kasher a big pot? Frektosis.
The bigger pot.
Right. The Midianite, commercial kitchen pot.
They have bigger pots.
So
you have the biggest pot here.
The biggest pot around. So zoktosis. Obviously, the only way to kasher it is by doing Hagala twice. So what happens like this. Let's take, for example, this pot holds in its walls 100 ounces of treif. Inside, it holds, 100 ounces is too much, so let's make it simple. It holds 10 ounces of treif. 1 ounce of treif. It's really easy. Inside this massive pot, it can hold 1 ounce of treif. Okay? Now, you're going to boil it up in 50 ounces of water. How much of that water now is asar? Only 1/50. So how much of the treif came back in to the walls? Much less of the percentage, because now the what's treif is only 1/50th of what's in the water is treif. The rest is kosher. So that now what came back into the wall is only 1/50th of it is treif. Then when you kosher it again, you'll have more than 60 in the pot.
So it's definitely kosher.
The first time you cannot kosher it. The way it works is you kosher it once, you lower the ratio of how much iser is in the water, that water goes back into the pot, and then you kosher it a second time. The second time you'll have 60. So frek toisvis, no, because the wall is not necessarily full of treif. The wall could have, right? So have few kazesim of treif.
The amount of treif that's there.
Yeah, it goes out, and now it's diluted in the water, and that new ratio is what gets back in. So frektosis, that's very good if you hold that there's no chanan b'shari surim. But if you hold chanan b'shari surim, so the second that you kasher the pot, that when you kasher the pot in less than 60, all the water is treif now. And now everything came back in. So you didn't lower the ratio because even the water is treif, according to chanan. According to chanan, even the water is treif. So what did it help to kasher twice? You kasher 10 times. But everything you're koshering just keeps on ushering the water. Because you say chanan, so the water itself got treif. So now that treif water came back into the pot. Now you need 60 against the water itself. So it's impossible to kasher a pot according to Rabbeinu Tam.
They would hold that that's the same...
That's Chanan. If you hold Chanan, then you need 60 against the part that got the water. So the water itself is treif. Right? So now, frekta is akasha. If you hold Chanan, not just by Basar B'chol, if you hold Chanan and other Isurim, so it's impossible to kasha, big pots. And the Torah is mashma. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down and he told everyone, okay guys, you won the war in Midian, go kasha the pots. Oh, by the way, the big ones don't. He didn't say that. So frektosis, it's a raya. You can't say Chanan and other Yisurim. So Frekta B'Kivega right here, one second, but you told me the Chanan and other Yisurim is Derabanan. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the Deraisa level. On the Deraisa level, it's fine. So obviously, Zokta B'Kivega, this Tosfos holds the Chanan and other Yisurim is Deraisa. Otherwise, what's going on in that whole Tosfos?
Does Chametz work the same way?
Chametz is even worse.
So how does it work that everybody's bringing their stuff
that's
and,
why,
and it accumulates?
Very good. That's why you have to kasher your stuff before Pesach. Because before Pesach, it works the same way. But on Pesach, you can't kasher anything. Because on Pesach, you don't need 60. On Pesach, even a little bit of chametz ushers the whole water. So you would be impossible to kasher anything on Pesach.
So there's no bittul with chametz.
Correct. There's no bittul on chametz. So that's why someone called, you know, no matter what, when someone calls, and usually not on Pesach, people don't call on Pesach, but people very often do call after Pesach, after Chatzos, on Erev Pesach. I forgot to kasher my bechers. Every year. I forgot to kasher my bechers, and it's Chatzos, Erev Pesach. What do I do?
Go buy a new one.
Yeah.
But doesn't all that chometz go back in?
No, but before Pesach, it's batal. Before Pesach, you could be mevatel chametz with 60. It's just on Pesach, it's not batal. So as long as you do it before Pesach, it's fine. That's the halacha.
And so the chametz is still there, but we don't count it.
Because once it came in before Pesach, it lost its potency before Pesach.
Got it.
So once before Pesach, it loses its potency, it's fine. That's all.
So
will
you explain how cool? Why isn't
the mevatel this? Oh, I wasn't going to talk about that, but now it's a geshmak akasha. Because I was thinking that. So he's asking... I was thinking about this kasha 5 minutes ago. I didn't say anything because you asked me 5 minutes ago if you hold a gal ba'ichim, why can't you just throw the potato into the chon? L'chatchila. I said, no, you can't do that. You can't take a potato, according to the mechaber. You can't take a potato that has a kazayis and throw it into your cholent, which has 60 kazayis in l'chatchila. You can't do that because even if you say the potato will become mutter, you kasha it. Why? Because ain't mevatel nis l'chatchila. So then I thought someone's going to ask, well, you're telling me that you can't kasha a potato because ain't mevatel nis l'chatchila, but you could kasha a fork and you don't say ain't mevatel nis l'chatchila. So Rabbi Kivager says, because you're not planning on drinking the water, right? So Rabbi Kivager says, it's not the concept of mevatel nis l'chatchila is like this. We're off topic now completely, but it's geshmak. Rabbi Kivager says like this. When you have a chalent, okay? I have a big chalent, and I want to make it like all these terrible stories, like you were telling me, whatever. I want to make it nice and creamy and whatever. So you put, and I'll put a drop of milk. It'll be less than 60. It'll be mutter, and no problem. So I want the iser in the cholent, right? I want it there. Since I want it there, the only way you're having it there is by you're utilizing bittul to your advantage. To now use the iser in a mutter way. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to use bittul to be able to partake in the iser. That's when you want to have the iser. So Zakta B'Kivega, but here by a galda, you're trying to get rid of the iser. So if the only way to get rid of it is by being mevatel, that's fine. It's the opposite of ein mevatel l'chatchila. I'm using bittul to get rid of the iser. That's okay. You just can't use bittul to use the iser. That's the point of bittul. It's not like l'chatchila you can't be mevatel iser if you don't want the iser. You can't use bittul to gufa eat the iser.
So it's not the mashal of putting it in the pot for agola is exact because you can't put it.
Exactly. So taking a potato and throwing it into your cholent, but you're planning on eating the cholent, so you can't. It would be right. You want to have you can't do that. But if you take the potato and throw it into the agola pot. Maybe it'll be different, according to Hagal Baichel, right? So that's what Kivager is var. If you're goofa trying to get rid of the Yisr, there's no in mevatel nis l'chatchila on that. That's geshmak of art.
How are we learning now?
We're not. We're saying like the shach, that's lav dafka. It just means it can become bottle with other potatoes, but the piece itself, if you can identify it, is still aser. That's the Mechaber and Kovav, and that's the Shach over here in Yudal.
So the Tosfos that you bring up with Rabbi Kivager, he's holding that there would be Chanan Belach? Because he's saying that the whole water would be Chanan. Or
is he the plant a lot? Yeah. You step ahead, but yeah.
Even there, right?
And what? Can Chanan happen to your pork and it causes treifus.
No, that's what I said before. You don't say chanan on kalim.
You're not going to eat the kalim.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. So this is the machlokes between the machaber. This is the machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. If you say chanan b'shari surim. Okay. Now, let's continue. Where is it nogeya? Where is the main case that Hanan is Shaykh in the context that we're talking? Let's think about it. What did the Mishnah teach us? The Mishnah taught us that if you have a piece, let's say according to Tosfos, you had a piece of food that was out of the Reitiv, piece of meat, and milk fell in. Right? Milk fell into the piece, and the whole thing became Basa B'chalav. And then you mixed it into the soup. So now you need 60, not only against the milk, you need 60 against the whole piece. Why? Because of Hanan. So that's where it's relevant to us to know. What would happen if this was Bishari Surim? Let's say you had a piece of meat on top, and it wasn't milk that fell on top of that piece. It was Chazir or Chaylev or something treif that would fall on that piece. So you didn't have 60 in the piece. The piece is awesome. Then you went ahead and mixed that piece into the soup. How much do you need now? Nothing changes. You still only need 60 against the original Isser. You don't need 60 against the piece. So that would be the difference between Hanan of Shari Surim and Hanan of Basa B'chalav, right? By Basa B'chalav, you would need 60 against the whole piece. But by Shari Surim, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you would just need 60 against the original Isser. Even if you mixed it in, right? Because the whole piece doesn't become Isser. But according to the Ramah, that we hold Hanan B'Shari Surim, the halacha would be the same. That if once the piece became Isser, then you mixed it into the pot, then you would need 60 against the whole piece. Okay?
So,
and now, huh?
Sorry, so a lot of mice, if someone's cooking, this does happen, someone by accident, this bad piece falls into there. If you already assess the shishim, you could just keep on cooking like normally.
Well, you can identify the piece?
Yeah.
No, you have to take the piece out. The soup, if there's 60 in the soup against the flavor that came out, that's okay, but the piece you got to take out.
Fine, okay. So if it's a drop of milk, and
right. Yeah. Yes. Now, when else is it nogeya to say chanan? So the Shulchan Aruch brings two examples. One is called an Isser Davuk. Okay, Isser Davuk is like this. Isser Davuk is when we assume that the Isser is more closely in contact with one part of the soup than the other part. So the Shulchan Aruch, there are two examples. One example is if a person took the liver, okay, or the lave actually, but let's just keep the liver for simplicity purposes. So you took a liver and you never kashered the liver. So all the blood is really in the liver, right? Now let's assume there's an ounce of blood, but the liver itself, if you count the meat of the liver, is like 3 ounces. Now you put that liver into a mixture, into a soup. How much do you need in the soup to make the soup mutter? You're going to throw out the liver. But how much do you need? Do you need 60 ounces of soup against the blood? Because the blood and the liver is going into the soup. So you need a mevatel of the blood, so you need 60. Or do you need 60 against the whole liver? Because the liver now, you say the blood asser the liver. The liver now is 3 ounces. Now you need 180 kazesim against the whole 3 ounce liver. You hear the shaila?
Yeah.
So now, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't make a difference. Because even if the blood asser the liver, but they don't say chanan, so it doesn't make a difference. So therefore, anyway, you only need, there's no, however you slice it, according to the Shulchan Aruch, you just need, there's only 1 ounce of isser in this soup.
If it's not an Isser Davuk, it's doing something. Why don't you say that the blood is just like the milk in this case, that it actually is within the whole meat, it's attached to it, it's part of it?
No, because it doesn't make a difference. It's still only the blood part of it. It's still only the blood which is identifiably an Isser. Okay? Now, the other way to look at it is, no. What happened is, if you hold like the Ramah, maybe what we would say is that the blood is much more absorbed in the liver, so it's a two-step process. First, the blood gets cooked up into the liver, and now the liver becomes one shtick, one piece of Isser. And now the flavor of the liver now is going into the whole soup. So now, according to the Ramah, maybe you need 180, because you need 60 times the whole liver. Now, you'll tell me one thing. Rabbi, didn't we talk about last time, it depends, half in, half out, all in. This liver's all in. So doesn't it go straight into the soup when it's all in? I thought the whole sugya of two steps is only half in, half out. The milk, according to Rashi, whatever, but now you're telling me the liver is fully in the soup, and still, the answer, that's the concept of Isadavik. Isadavik overrides the fact that you're fully in the roitiv. Because since this is where your svar comes in, since the blood is much more attached, is much more closely, attached to the liver, it's going to get absorbed in the liver first. And as step two, all the flavor of that Isser is going to go out into the soup. Right. So now, according to the Shulchan Aruch, I don't care how many steps, it doesn't make a difference if it goes to the liver first. At the end of the day, we only need the liver still kosher. You don't say Hanan and other Isurim. So if all that becomes Aser, all you need is 60 times against the blood. But according to the Ramah, you need 60 times against the whole liver, and this is where the concept of Isser Dava comes in.
So is it like a...
Since it's much more closely related to here. No, it's Hanan. It's just the question is, why are we saying Hanan? Why don't we just say that the blood goes straight into the soup? The answer is because it stops first here, because it's davuk to here, it's glued to here, it's closely related to here, okay? Now, that's one case of Issa Davuk. The other case of Issa Davuk is an interesting case. The case is that the Ramah brings a case that you cooked a fish, a kosher fish, and then when you cut open, did this ever happen to you? You cut open the fish, and inside the kosher fish, there was a tray fish inside. It turns out that the fish that you just caught had just eaten a tray fish right earlier. Could happen?
Definitely.
Huh? So now...
You don't eat the stomach, you eat the fish, but yeah.
I know you don't eat it, right? But the problem is, now you cooked that whole fish in a pot. And now that little piece of, that piece of tray, now is ossering everything. The tray fish is ossering everything. So,
not so likely, because you would gut the fish.
You cut the fish first. You
usually clean the fish first.
Okay, fine, but this guy didn't. This guy didn't. So now, what? So now it would depend. According to the Shulchan Aruch, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. The fish is also not also. You only need 60 times the smaller fish, not the bigger fish.
But you have to get rid of that little piece.
Of right? Course, get rid of that fish. Fine, you're not going to eat that piece. But that piece now got cooked through. The flavor of that tray fish went into the bigger fish, and then from the bigger fish went into the pot. And it doesn't make, even though we've made a stop on the train, the first train stop, the first stop of the flavor was in the bigger fish, but then it went from there into the pot. You only need 60 against the smaller fish. But according to the Ramah, we're going to say Hanan. So what's going to happen is we're going to say that the flavor of the smaller fish got absorbed into the bigger fish first. And if there's no 60 in the bigger fish, so the bigger fish became Aser. Since the bigger fish became Aser, we say Hanan. And now you're going to need 60 times in the bigger fish in the soup, which you probably don't have. So this is another case that the Taz says you would say Isser Davuk. Okay? So these are two cases where the Ramah says that even though you're all the way inside the Raitiv, and we learned last week that if you're in the Raitiv, then it just spreads equally into the whole thing, but not by Davuk. Not by Davuk, when it's Mamish, like in here first. So it's Memayer, Livloya, and it got absorbed into the flavor of the tray fish, got absorbed into the kosher fish, and now you need 60 times the kosher fish. And this is the machlokes between the machaber and the Ramah. What would you say over there? And there's a lot more to talk about. This is just like touching the tip of the iceberg over here. Because the Taz has a whole nother pshat in Isser Davuk, and then there's a whole nother case that also we're going to say Hanan. We have to get back to that later, okay? So this at least we throw in the let it settle. And we'll get back to it. Now, nice schedule-wise, next week we're having a Yachi Kala, like a special program. So there's going to be breakfast and a whole shiur then from Rabbi Cinnamon's coming from New York to give a shiur. So that'll be next Sunday, so we're not going to have a shiur besides that. And then after that is Erev Sukkos and et cetera. So This year, we're going to continue after Sukkot Simchat Hashem. Next Sunday is the Yachikal, and then after that, we'll continue after Sukkot.
Are we staying on the same topic, or are we going back to business?
I think we're sticking on this for now. But...